Good morning. It's 3rd of June. Our New Testament reading today is Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read to you from Brother John Carter's book on the letter to the Hebrews. I read, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." There may be here a reminiscence of the ceremony of the consecration of Aaron and his sons. They were washed with water and sprinkled with blood. There was a counterpart in the lives of these Hebrews, and indeed of all saints. Peter speaks of obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. That's 1 Peter chapter 1. Language obviously taken from the types, and which could not be taken literally. It denotes the application of the effects of the sacrifice of Christ. Hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our hearts freed from a sense of sins in the recognition of forgiveness for Christ's sake. This forgiveness is obtained when there is obedience in baptism, coupled with an understanding of the Word of God. Without that understanding, it cannot be obedience of faith. But with it, baptism becomes a washing of water with the Word, to use the words of Ephesians chapter 5. Following begettal by the Word comes the birth of water, and those so born are children of God with the right of approach to the Father. Having these qualifications, sprinkling and washing, they should draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. The second letters is connected with hope, although the AV obscures the matter by translating elpis in this sole instance by the word faith. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. Hope is grounded upon promise, even the promises made unto the fathers. God is faithful. The promise is sure. Only man's part is in doubt. Their beginning, that is, of the Hebrews, was right in their confession of Christ. The end would also be so if they held fast to that confession. Every generation sees its quota of waverers, and to every generation may this appeal be made. Let us hold fast. The third lettuce concerns mutual love. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Once before Paul had appealed to them, let us consider. But then it was the apostle and high priest that was the object of consideration, in chapter 3, verse 1. But the two are not without relationship. The mind which is healthily fixed on Christ, not morbidly as the hermit and the inmate of the cloister, finds its interest expanding. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Provocation is usually to evil. It is easier to incite to evil than to good. The action of some Hebrews in wavering was such a provocation. But Paul calls upon them to provoke to love and good works. In that crisis, this could be effectively exhibited by not forsaking the ranks of their fellow Christians in failing to assemble with them, particularly so in view of the approaching day when the Jewish state would be altogether broken up. Troubles and difficulties lay ahead. Already the beginnings of them were being felt. They needed mutual exhortation and the benefits of association. And so do we. Thank you for listening.